Friends, I'm turning this evening to the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 6 and to verses 18 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 18 to 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Friends, we have come to the last stage of our series in the warfare that the Bible describes to us as between Christians and the enemy of our souls, the devil. Friends, let's look back at this book of Ephesians as I explained from the beginning, that it is about the church, how the church will grow, how individuals will grow, because it is the individuals that form the church. When the individuals grow, the church grows. So this Ephesians has been given to us to show the gift that God has given us to lead us to be able to grow. And it is only by we doing this, by following this, that we can grow. Not by any other means, as it's always being taught elsewhere. Remember, let's refer to the hymn that we just read, hymn 480 verse 1. If you come to the fifth stanza, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. He's talking about Satan. He said his power, they are great, and he's armed with cruel hate. He hates us, and he has great power. If you attack somebody and the person has a great power, then you are in serious trouble. He said he has great power. On earth, it's not his equal. This world has no equal to the devil. But then come to the second stanza. He said, we're not the right man on our side. The man of God, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he, the Lord of hosts. His name from age to age, and he must win the battle. So he's saying that, you see how powerful the enemy is and how he hates us. And there's no one on earth, not any prophet, not any bishop, no one on earth that can match him except Christ. So if Christ were not to be on our side, where would we be in this battle? But with Christ, as he said that, and he must win the battle. And if Christ is our captain, and the captain fought the devil with the word of God, what else can we use? Christ himself, when the devil tempted him, he used the word of God to fight him. So why are people running to mountains, to so-called prophets, to some divine healers, when Christ himself fought the enemy with the word of God? And it is clear in the Bible from Hebrews 1:1 when it says, God, who in times past spoke through prophets, has in the last days spoken through us through his Son. And his Son is the Word. So to fight the devil, to fight the enemy, is through the Word. And this is where Apostle Paul is showing us how to fight with the Word. So like I said, Ephesians chapter 1-3, it tells us about the resources that God has given us. All the things that we need, we can't go back, otherwise we won't finish today, because we are blessed with them already. All the things that we need to move, to grow for the church. And then from verse 4 to 6, how to use those things, how to apply them to be able to grow, to be able to win the battle. Like we learn about how to walk in unity, how to walk in the light, how to walk in love, and all those things we have learned about them. And then coming to how to walk, now we are coming to show how to fight the battle. Because as we have been saying, the devil hates us. But he wants to capture us in his pocket. Christ, by his death on the cross of Calvary, has saved us. So he hates us. He wants to deal with us. He wants to go to hell with us. And that is why God has given us the means, the way to fight them. And the warning, when the John, the last, I would say maybe the last of the minor prophets in Revelation, when he emphasized on the spiritual warfare in verses 12 to 9, chapter 12, verse 9, he said, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Then verse 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." See, this is the kind of person or the kind of spirit we are fighting with. He has been thrown down from heaven. He was an archangel, remember, and he has been thrown down, and now he is fighting us. And not fighting alone, he's come with his great demons, all of them, applying so many methods of trying to get to us. And no one can even comprehend the kind of the method that he's using. It is only Christ. So we can only follow Christ and the Word to be able to fight this enemy. In chapter 6, from verse 14 to 17, Apostle Paul tells us how to fight the spiritual battle. And here he lists 6 pieces of armor, like equipment, accoutrements that we use, the soldiers use to fight. That's our accoutrement. That is our arsenal to fight the enemy. And he lists 6 of them, which he calls spiritual armor, to put on. The belt of truth, we have talked about that already, the truth. The breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which we saw the last time we had the opportunity, which is the Word of God. So this our arsenal, equipment to fight the devil. So far, we have studied all the 6 pieces of the armor, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of the gospel of peace, the shield of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We are done with all this. Now we are coming to verses 18 to 20. He said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things." Now, what does Apostle Paul mean by this? We are going to delve into this and see what it means and how to apply this last one, so that all the armors will work. Without the prayer, regardless of your armor, it won't work. I will quote what an army officer said during the World War II, when he was giving his men on how to take certain objectives. He said, they needed to hug, like hug the ground, so as to stay below enemy fire. It's like they should embrace the ground, hug the ground, so that the enemy fire will pass by you. That's what this officer means. In other words, in conclusion, he said, if you advance on your knees, you will always be safe. If you advance on your knees, instead of standing up, if you advance on your knees, you will always be safe. And that's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us in the text here, from verses 10 to 13. He gave us the explanation for the fight. Remember, we just read it. He gave us the explanation why this battle came about, why is it necessary to fight it. He has shown us, and then he said that we might be strong in the Lord. we must be strong in the Lord, not on our own, but in the Lord, not through any apostle, not through any prophet, in the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, and the way that he has prescribed. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. We must be strong in the Lord, because we are engaged in a spiritual battle with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You can't even see them. They are so powerful. You can't see them, and yet they are the ones that we are fighting. So in chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, Paul has told the equipment for the fight, the full armor of God, which enables us to stand firm against this powerful enemy. And we have mentioned all of them already. Now, Paul is saying that the effecting of the fight, how to fight, is to pray. Fight the battle through prayer. Use the equipment through prayer. Otherwise, without prayer, you can never, never, never win the battle. And I'm sure all of us here can testify as to the importance of prayer. I'm sure God has met us at our knees through prayer. He has saved us from many situations through prayer. So we can't deny that. We all know the importance and the power of prayer. But we must also be sincere to ourselves that it seems to be the most difficult thing to do, prayer. What God has given us to fight our battles in a way has become the most difficult thing to do. You go to any church, any Reformed church, well, I can talk about Reformed churches, and check all the ministries. It's the prayer meeting that is less attended. The prayer meeting. The power, the engine house of the church is the one that is less attended. So we must accept that prayer is, though very, very important, sometimes we fail. We are not able to pray as we should. And we should pray that God will give us, will enable us, will strengthen us to be able to pray in fighting this our enemy. One minister from England, I'm sure most of you have heard about his name, Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a minister and he was also a doctor as well. And this man, he was one of the strong Calvinists in the 20th century. And for about 30 years, he was a minister of the Westminster Chapel in London. I hear that Dr. Masters served under him. And he had a book called The Christian Soldier. And in the book, he said that prayer should be a delight for the believer. Prayer should be a delight for the believer, because that is where you can fight all your battles. That is where you can ask for anything from the Lord. So it should be a delight. Coming before God should be a delight, a joyous thing. It shouldn't be a burden. Unfortunately, to most of us, it becomes a burden. So Lord Jones is saying that we should devote much time to prayer. And like I said, honestly, all of us have difficulty in doing this. That is why Apostle Paul, if you go from verse 18, he uses all, the word all, four times. And then in addition, he tells us that we are to pray in the Spirit. He used four of all that we should pray, and then he said we should also pray in the Spirit. So these are going to be the points for our outline tonight. And the final all is that we should pray for all the saints. Verses 19 to 20 specifically apply this. As Paul asked for prayer for himself, that he will be bold and faithful in proclaiming the gospel. So we are going to look at the outline from these 5 points. First, he said we should fight for God by praying with all kinds of prayer. Apostle Paul is saying that we should pray with all kinds of prayer. And if you look at the verse 18, he has two participles. Praying and then saying alert. Praying and then saying alert. Which are, these two are, they all depend on the word stand, which Apostle Paul used in verse 14. So the idea is that stand firm by praying and by also staying alert. You can only stand firm when you are praying, and as you are praying, you are also standing alert. Apostle Paul has in several times in the scriptures used this two words, prayer and petition. So you may think maybe he's using two different words, especially for example in Philippians chapter 4 verse 50 writes, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God." He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication make your request be known unto God." And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 he says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So why is Apostle Paul using these two words? And what do they mean? It's very difficult to draw a clear distinction between these two words, except to say that when you say prayer, it's like a whole. Basically, the prayer side of it is the praises, the adoration, the thanksgiving that you give to God. And then when it comes to the supplication, that is when you make direct request, you petition, where you make request to God. So prayers, adoration, and thanksgiving all are praises, adoration, and thanksgiving, they all come under the word prayer. And then the petitions, what we ask of God, specific things that we ask for God, that is where we call the supplications. So, in this text, the effect of Paul's piling up these synonyms for us is to emphasize the importance, the priority of prayer on spiritual warfare. Without prayer, you can't fight the battle. So all this point that Apostle Paul is trying to make is to emphasize the need and the priority that we need to fight this battle with prayer. And the fact that there are different kinds of prayer that we are to use in this battle. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to say, that we should pray with all kinds of prayer. Very soon we are going to see the kind of prayer that Apostle Paul is talking about, how to pray effectively to win this battle. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also gave us a similar example in the model of the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is also another helpful outline of the different kinds of prayer. For instance, you know, he starts by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I've been to churches where they recite exactly this, all this as their prayer. But friends, it's just an outline. Because when he says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," this is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he is pointing us toward worship as we pray for God's glory. When we come before God, we praise him, we adore him, and then we praise him. So we say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Then when we come to verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And this also points us to prayer for mission. Because why did Christ come? So that the word of God will spread and people will be saved. So that is his kingdom, that the kingdom will come and his will is to have his people saved. Lord save souls be saved. So it is a prayer for missions, evangelism, and discipleship. When it comes to verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And this is a prayer for requesting for our daily needs. So you see, all these are kinds of prayers that Apostle Paul is going to show us how to pray for this spiritual battle. Then our Lord goes on, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," in verse 12. This is confession of sins and prayer for our relationship and other people. See, we confess our sins. And he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Verse 13. It's also a prayer for holiness, both for others and for ourselves. We pray for holiness for others and then for ourselves. And you know, we have all kinds of prayers in the Psalms and in other parts of the scriptures. And they all give us all types of prayer, the kind of prayer that Apostle Paul is talking about. But Paul's point is that we fight for God against the enemy as we use all types of prayer. That is what Apostle Paul is trying to say. So he says we fight by praying at all times. At all times. I'm sure when you hear at all times, you may think then I won't have time to do my anything. I go to school, I go to my office, I work, I go to the market. Then how can I pray at all times? This is not the literal praying all time. Nobody can do that. But it means praying at every opportunity that you get, you pray. It's the same as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you should continue praying from morning to evening. Nobody can do that. But you pray at every opportunity that you have. John MacArthur was also one of the Calvinist of late, is somehow questionable, but he said something, and he said, to obey this exhortation means that when we are tempted, we hold the temptation before God and ask for his help. When we experience something good and beautiful, we immediately thank the Lord for it. When we see evil around us, we pray that God will make it right and be willing to be used of him to that end. This is MacArthur. He goes on to say, when we meet someone who does not know Christ, we pray for God to draw that person to himself and to use us to be faithful witnesses. He said, when we encounter trouble, we turn to God as our deliverer. In other words, our life becomes a continually ascending prayer, a perpetual communication with our Heavenly Father. That's the point he's trying to say. Every opportunity, any problem that you come into, whether it is a good news or a bad news, you go to God in prayer. That's what Apostle Paul is talking about by saying, praying at all times. And we should know that prayer also isn't just rushing to God's presence when you need something, and then after that, you forget about God. As if you are going to a bank for some money. Once you get the money, you forget about the bank. No. You keep on. And you must enjoy talking to the Lord. That is why Martin Lloyd Jones was saying that it must be a delight to the believer. Prayer must be a delight to the believer. It should be a delight, isn't it? Talking to God. To have conversation with God. I remember some time ago when there was a business conference and people were paying thousands of dollars to sit close to the president or to sit close to his ministers, so they can speak to them. People were paying thousands of money. And you have access to the Creator himself, the Almighty God, the Holy, Holy, Holy One. Don't you enjoy it? You must enjoy it. It must be a delight that you can come before the Lord at every opportunity. Also, when we are in need, prayer is not to be our last resort. Don't say, I've done all that I can. Now, I'm turning to God. No. John Bunyan, the one who wrote the Pilgrim Progress, he said, you can do more to pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You see, so it is not like when something, when a situation, you try your hands on everything, when it doesn't work, and say, now let me ask God. No. Go to him first. In every problem, in every situation, go to your Father first. Friends, all these are the ways to fight the enemy. Because all the situations we go through, either it is trouble or whatever, it is the devil. He is the one who orchestrates it. So we have to come to the Lord in every situation. So prayer should be the first thing that we think to do when we are aware of a need. And prayer is not a mere formality to stay before a meal or to open a meeting or whatever. John Calvin also said something about it. He said, therefore, by the benefit of prayer, that we reach those riches which are laid out for us with the Heavenly Father. All the riches that God has given us, it is only by prayer that we can have the benefits and by using them successfully. The same John Bunyan also said, pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a sword for Satan. You see, prayer is the one that protects you. And then a sacrifice, you give your life to God. And then that is what walls the devil away from you. The devil fears the prayer of the righteous person. So pray with all prayer and petition at all times. That is what the Apostle Paul means, that we should pray at every opportunity. I've always said it here, that God wants us to pray. That is why sometimes he leads us into some troubles, into some afflictions that we may not understand. He wants us to come closer to him. If we go through life without any problem, it will be difficult to come and pray. Or you can't pray really seriously until you are in dire need. So when God does that to us, he does it so that it will point us to prayer. Now, he says, fight by praying in the Spirit. This is where the controversy is. Apostle Paul is saying that we should pray in the Spirit. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? First, I would like to clearly state what this does not mean before I come to what it means. First, praying in the Spirit does not refer to praying in tongues or to be praying emotionally. That's not what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here. Even though we know that the early church from the beginning, some people were given the gift of speaking in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. But now there's a debate. Some people are saying that the tongue speaking continues to go on. We in the Reformed sense, it has ceased, because we believe that signs and miracles were given for people who were coming to pen the scriptures. Once the Bible is complete, their work is finished. We actually built on their work. People are still debating that the tongue speaking is still going on. And let's even say it is going on. Even if it is going on, what we learn from the scriptures is not what we are seeing here. Because in the scriptures, when we say tongues, genuine tongue speaking, is to speak in the translatable language. A language that is not your language, but you can speak for people to understand in their own languages. That was what tongue speaking was. Nobody was using tongues to pray, because tongue speaking is from God to man. God speaking through some people to us. It is not us to God. So even if they are claiming that it exists, it is not what they are doing. Otherwise, why do they go to other foreign countries and they have people to interpret for them? Why don't they speak in tongues? Our so-called big pastors. Why don't they do that so that people can understand their language? It is no more there. So that is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. There's a booklet by Pastor about these tongues. You can read and learn more about it. So what exactly does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is to pray independent on the Spirit. Praying depending on the Holy Spirit and in accordance with the Word of God. Because you see, God has said that if you pray in accordance with my Word, I will hear you. But who knows the Word of God more than the Holy Spirit? He is the author of the whole scripture. He is the Spirit of God. He knows everything about God. Sometimes when we come before God, we don't even know what to say. The Bible is clear. He said we don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to pray in accordance with God's Word. So you come praying depending on the Holy Spirit, so that He will enable you to pray in accordance with God's Word. Let me just give some three comments on praying in the Spirit. Some conditions to pray in the Spirit. You cannot pray in the Spirit if you have unconfessed sin in your life. You can never pray in the Spirit. If there's sin, you are harboring sin in you, and you know what you are doing is sinful to God, you can never pray in the Spirit unless you confess your sin and you are willing for God to help you to repent of the sin. Then you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit when you have an unconfessed sin in your life. Psalm 56, verse 18, very, 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 very popular psalm, says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard iniquity, if there's unconfessed sin in your life, the Lord will not hear your prayer. So if you think you can come before God, this holy throne, holy, 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 holy God, in the power of His Spirit, while at the same time You are holding on to sin in your life. You are deceiving yourself. It can never, never work. Unless you have repented of your sins, sought forgiveness from God, then you can pray in the Spirit. So that is why Peter tells us that, you remember in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let's turn there quickly and see what Peter is saying. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about our wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the wicked, the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of his grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers, I wish I can explain this in Greek, that your prayers be not hindered. He's saying, last, some time ago, I took an Uber, a taxi driver, and as usual, whenever I happen to be in that situation, I try to witness to them. And I was talking, and the man was asking me, what church do I go to? So all what I'm telling him was like some different things that he had been hearing. But he goes to Pentecost Church, and he drives, the car he's driving is for his master, who is a presiding elder in the church. And you know how we say somebody is a presiding elder, I'm sure you know, very, very close to the pastor. I'm sure he preaches. And then, so, this driver teaches the man's wife how to drive. And whenever they go out, there are so many complaints from the woman to this driver. The wife is so worried about the husband's attitude that it has not come to tell him even a driver. What was he telling him? He said, apart from her being his wife, he has three more girlfriends. A presiding elder. He has three more girlfriends, and the girls keep calling her and insulting her. You can imagine. And such a person can come and stand behind God's pulpit and pray, thinking that God will hear him. How can you have such a sin in your heart? Peter is saying that your prayers will be hindered if you don't honor your bed. Your prayers will be hindered, even your own life. So it is a very serious thing when we say you are praying in the Spirit. You must make sure that there's no iniquity. Nobody is perfect, but then even if there's a sin in your heart and you are repenting of it, it is a sign that you need God's help. But not to be deliberately committing sins and then come and stand before God and say you are praying in the Spirit. And those are the people who prayed in tongues, these same people. And they think that the tongue speaking is them praying in the Spirit. Remember, God knows our hearts. We can't play games with God, thinking that we can disobey him and then come and then talk to him like a sweet talk, how we do to our managers and people in our workplace. No, you can't do that. You can never pray in tongues. How can you say, for instance, Lord, bless my business, when you are being dishonest and corrupt? Then you come and stand before God and ask him to bless your business. That can never work. That prayer can never work. Now, you can't say, God, bless my family, while you are secretly enslaved in pornography. Some people say they are Christians and they get themselves involved in pornography. And yet, they can come and stand before God and tell God to bless their family. You have to repent of all nonsense and to the deed appropriate to repentance. Let God see that you have really repented of your sins. Not be involved in that sin and say you can pray in the Holy Spirit. It is not true. Praying in the Spirit is to pray according to God's will as revealed in his word. Praying according to his will as it is revealed in his word. Paul has just told us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as we learned the last time we had of chapter 6, verse 17. You see, so God's written word reveals to us his moral will for our life. It is only in the word of God that we can know the will of God. So we should pray in the Spirit by praying according to the will of God as revealed in his word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, he said, you build his eternal will. His will here in this account is that he said we should abstain from fornication. And when we come to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, he says, the eternal will of Simon everything in Jesus Christ. He said, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, then verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. So the Spirit will never lead us to pray contrary to the will of God as revealed in his word. You can only pray in the Spirit by praying according to the will of God. You can never pray to the Spirit. Say, Lord, bless me as I enter into a marriage with this unbeliever. When God has warned you that you should not marry an unbeliever, you are going to marry an unbeliever and you are still praying to God to help you in that marriage. How can that work? Total disobedience to God, and God will never hear you, and you can't also pray in the Holy Spirit. There are so many examples of apostles Paul's prayer where he prayed in accordance with God's will. You can know them down Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 23, chapter 3 verse 14 to 21. And there are many other prayers also in the Bible which people prayed in accordance with the will of God. And also, in addition, all God's commandments in Scripture should be turned into prayer for holiness in the life of God's people, including our own life. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray according to God's revealed will in His way. Now, praying in the Spirit is also to pray in dependence on the Spirit under His direction and power. First, I said we should pray in dependence on Him. Now we are praying in dependence on Him under His direction and power. All of us, like I said, can testify that sometimes we come before God and it's difficult to even concentrate. You see your mind wandering somewhere, you can't really focus that you have come before the holy God. It happens to everybody. And that this is where you need the Holy Spirit. You can't concentrate. And also see that you are in the presence of the holy God. Then this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Then he comes to prompt you, you know, to pray something, and he directs our thoughts and words, giving us power and freedom in prayer. So it is not what people are saying. The Holy Spirit comes and puts some things in your mind to pray. Because you have come before God, your mind is wandering everywhere, you don't even know what to say. The Holy Spirit will help you. That is why he says it helps you in your infirmity. This is our infirmity. You have come before God, you don't know what to tell God. He will help you so that you'll be able to pray in accordance with the word of God. Remember, I've said that the Holy Spirit is moving you along in prayer, because the word of God, the origin is the Holy Spirit. So he is the one that can move you along with prayer. Also, at times the Spirit puts the same request on our heart frequently and with intensity. Sometimes the Spirit will put something in your heart. It comes frequently. Comes, and it is so intense. When you see that, God is calling you to pray over that thing through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, so to fight for God by praying with all kinds of prayer at all times and in the Spirit. The fourth outline is that fight for God by praying alertly. He said you should be alert and in all perseverance. So pray alertly. Be alert as you pray. As I said, that Apostle Paul is still building everything on the verse 14 when he said you stand firm. Paul is here saying that stand firm against the enemy by being alert to persevere and pray for all the saints. You must be alert to see the devil's machinations. If you are loose, the devil will take you by surprise. But if you are alert, you can be able to see when the enemy is coming. So this word alert means to be awake and vigilant. Remember Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, when he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Then he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Christ knows this. That is why he said we should be alert. Sometimes you are even praying before you realize you are sleeping. So in all this, you need the spirit to help you. That is why he said you should be alert. It's like a military analogy. We say that watch for every sign of infiltration, every sign of the enemy coming in. That is why those in the tank, you see that they are in the tank, you can't see them, but they can see everywhere. You see where the enemy is advancing from. That's the kind of thing Apostle Paul is telling us here. That we should be alert and be watching how where the enemy is coming from. How do we do this? How do we be alert? When you see a person who is suffering, that's what I'm saying, that the devil uses our situation to get us. Because when you are suffering, you are vulnerable. Anybody tells you, "Let's go to Accra Mountains," you follow them. "Let's go to this prophet," you follow them, because you are suffering. So this is where, when we see somebody, a Christian brother or sister, suffering, we should pray that Satan might not use that as an opportunity and set his eyes, set the person's eyes of God, and then devour that person. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's always working 24 hours. So if you are not alert, the moment something crosses up in your way, he turns your mind off God, and then he gets you. If you see someone who is depressed or discouraged, that is why when we come for prayer meeting, we look out for people who are distressed or who are oppressed, and we pray that the person will put their trust in God and God's salvation. Otherwise, the devil will step in and use that opportunity to turn the person's eyes from God. If you see a husband and wife who are having conflict, pray. Pray for them, for the devil will come in there and destroy things. If you pray, when you see that a believer's couple are in that kind of conflict, we should pray for them. If you see a church member at odds with another member, let's be alert and pray. This is where the devil comes in. If a church member is having issues with another church member, the devil comes in. And it is where he can easily get you. So we should be alert and pray. Now, he said we should also pray perseverance. We should pray continuously. This is where we all find difficulty in praying. He said we should pray with all perseverance. And Jesus told the parable of the widow who kept pressing the jar until finally he had to relent just to get off of his back. I remember Pastor has used it before, and he said in the Greek, what the woman was doing is like poking her hand on the eyes of the judge. So the judge was compelled to do what he was doing. And that's exactly what he's saying, that we should come to God perseveringly. Pray and pray and pray. I don't see a limit where we can get to and say, "As for now, I can't pray again." Because I've been praying. Me personally, I've been praying for something for over 20 years now. I haven't got the answer. And I'm still praying. Because I know that God's time is the best. And I know God can do everything. If he hasn't done it, there is a reason. So I have to go on praying and praying. That is what the Apostle Paul means by praying in all perseverance. Jesus assured us that even if that judge, because of the perseverance of the lady, he answered her, how about God himself, the Almighty God? He will do it for us. So we should pray at all times. We ought to pray and not to lose heart, according to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And Paul's word about perseverance showed that Jesus' promise of God answering. You see, when he said he will answer speedily, we should not view it as our time. Because when we pray, because somebody can say, oh, Christ said that God will answer me speedily. So as soon as I pray, I must get the answer. And I can see people praying like that. When they want something, they will be standing and be stamping their feet that they want it now. They want it now. They are telling God to give the... No. It is talking about God's deal, not ours. Because remember, God, 1,000 years is like a day to him. A day is like 1,000 years to him. So when we are praying for deliverance, we should pray and be prepared to wait. Keep on praying until God himself intervenes. So it means to devote yourself constantly to the prayer. You don't give up when you don't see immediate results. You go on praying and praying and praying. Psalm 27 verse 14 talks about that. We pray persevering in the Lord. So we fight for God, praying with all kinds of prayer at all times in the spirit and by praying at leisure with perseverance. And then lastly, we fight for God by praying for all the saints. Apostle Paul said that we should pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints because they are your fellow soldiers. We are in the same battle together. When we talk about Christians, we are talking about people who have been called, who have been saved, but we are not in one church, as some people think that God has a visible organization. No. We are scattered all over, and we should pray for each other. I'm sure when soldiers are on the battlefield and their fellow soldiers get hurt, they are all in trouble. It's the same thing with us. When our fellow believer gets hurt, we go to the same trouble. So the point is that we are not Christians in isolation, but we are in fellowship with the entire church, the entire universal church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as Paul has emphasized in Ephesians, we are one body in Christ. He said it earlier on. He said we are one body in Christ. So if one member hurts, the whole body hurts. Also, praying for your fellow soldiers in the battle will also motivate you yourself to love them and to work out any problems or any conflict. It will be difficult to pray for your fellow Christians and hate that person. Then your prayer will not be genuine. So obviously, once you are praying for that person, you will love that person too. And that is why Apostle Paul is saying here. It is difficult to pray for someone and still be at odds with the person. No, it can't happen. The second thing is that pray especially for those on the front lines of ministry. Those who are on the front line. As we are talking about the soldiers, those on the front line, there are those who are on the front line, then there are those who are behind them, giving them support, like the cooks and the nurses and all those things. But those who are actually on the front line, meeting, combating with the enemy, he is the one that he said we should pray for them. See that Paul said he should pray for him himself. He, Paul, that he said that he will make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, verses 19 to 20. So he's asking for prayer that he will have opportunities to proclaim the gospel and then the boldness and liberty to make it plain. You see, Paul himself needed the prayers of other people so that he will be strong in the ministry. So every Christian is in the ministry. But evangelists, missionaries, pastors, and other Christian leaders are more specially targeted for the enemy. Especially when he comes to a church, he knows when he's able to knock down the head, it is finished. There's a saying that if you cut off the head of a snake, the rest is just a rope. And that's what the devil does. He tries to cut off the head, the leadership. And once he's able to do that, the rest is just nothing for him at all. So if Satan can bring down a leader, he has called a big time into the battle with us. And let me explain one thing that the Apostle Paul says. When he says the mystery of the gospel, it does not mean that it is a hidden secret, but rather it is a divinely revealed truth. You see, because the Bible says that even the angels, they peep to know how God was going to save his people when the devil was able to trick Adam to sin. How God was going to reverse it. It was a mystery. Nobody knew how God was going to do it. And this is what he has done. So Apostle Paul wants to have the opportunity and the boldness to go out and preach so that people will know. He wants to open the blind eyes so that the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, people will understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 4 to 6. So Paul asks for prayer for boldness as he proclaimed this revealed mystery. When you read through the book of Acts, you don't get the impression that Paul was lacking in boldness. We all think that Paul was a very powerful preacher. He was very, very bold. In fact, he was in prison because he had boldly proclaimed the gospel to a mob that had attempted to kill him. So why is he now praying that people should pray for him so that he will have boldness to preach? When you read what he has endured for the sake of the gospel, it means that nothing could stop him. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 to 29. But first of all, one thing we should know is that Paul was not a strong, naturally gifted communicator. I'll put to you very soon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "His letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." Talking about Paul. When you read Paul's epistles, you see this is a powerful preaching. But look at what they are saying about him. He says, "His letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling." This is Paul saying that. "And in much trembling." So he knew that he was inadequate to in himself. So he needed a prayer for boldness. Second, Paul was about to go before Caesar, who will either acquit or condemn him. So here, the devil will bring some strong temptation here. That, "Oh, apostle, when you go, diplomatic, don't go straight to the point. Just go round the way, because you know if Caesar acquits you, you have the opportunity to preach to more people. But if he puts you into prison, you will be hindered." The devil can put this in his mind as you are going to meet Caesar. So he will tell him not to talk about his need for repentance and that he's so sinful and that in order to receive God's forgiveness, he must repent. He shouldn't say all those things. You should just go and be diplomatic. I'm not saying he said that, but I'm saying that the devil can do that so that to weaken Apostle Paul. So, Apostle Paul said he wanted to proclaim the gospel boldly and clearly to Caesar. He wanted to say it as it is. So he asked for prayer. And we all ask for such prayer because we need to pray to preach the truth. You can't come and stand here and tell people, "Oh, you are all okay, you are the head and not the tail. There's nothing wrong with you." When sincerely speaking, they are sinners. You don't tell them the truth. You need that boldness to be able to tell them so that they will repent and be saved. Now, this is where I come for saying, "My people, pray for me. Pray that I will be very bold in preaching the word." And then he said that we should pray for ourselves, that we also will be bold and clear in our witness for Christ. Like I said, we also need prayers. Every Christian is an evangelist. We should pray that God will grant that boldness, that wherever we get the opportunity, we will be able to pray. It is not amazing that Paul here is not even asking for prayer that he will be released from prison, or for prayer for his health needs. But he wasn't also very, 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 very careful. But rather, he asked for prayer that he would proclaim the gospel boldly, never missing any opportunity. We should pray for the same thing, that any opportunity that God gives us, we should be able to preach the gospel. And while it is all right to pray for your personal needs, Paul's example here, as well as the Lord's Prayer, teaches that our primary focus in prayer should be furthering the kingdom of God, not making ourselves more comfortable. No, but in preaching the word of God. So make Paul's passion your passion. Let us have that same passion that God will give us the opportunity to preach the gospel. And we can only do that through prayer. If we pray, that God will give us. So to pray that you will be able and you will be used by God to proclaim the gospel to the lost with clarity and boldness. This is what Apostle Paul is telling us here in this epistle. That we should pray at all times. We should pray allegedly. We should pray also perseveringly. Pray. Never stop praying. And God will answer you. So, in coming to conclusion, let's quote this quote by the same MacArthur in the book that we have read in Ephesians. It says, Ephesians begin by lifting us up to the heaven and ends by pulling us down to our knees. You see, here at the beginning, he tells you all what God has given us to build the church. And then now he brings us down in the last minute to our knees. He says, he should bring us down to our knees. Remember, the Christian life is not about making yourself happy and comfortable. It's a battle with the unseen forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. To fight for God against those evil enemies, we must be a people of prayer. And a prayer of all kinds of prayer and all kinds of perseverance. My prayer is that the Lord will help us, will strengthen us, that we will be able to pray as Apostle Paul is saying here. And friends, like I said, I want to emphasize on it. This is the way to fight demons. This is the way to fight afflictions. This is the way to fight anything. It is not by going to anybody, nobody, no prayer warrior. You yourself pray according to what the word is saying here. Because the word is the power. God said, I don't speak through prophets again. I speak through the word. And the word says, to fight the battle, this is the way. And we must follow it. Let God help us so that we'll be able to fight in battle with the word.